Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney with Real Agriculture. Many times we look at farm succession from a very holistic point of view, through the lens of all the generations involved. This can actually make things very complicated. On this episode, we're going to take a look at farm succession through the lens of the younger generation. What are their concerns, desires, and needs in this process of achieving a successful farm succession? Questions like, how do I start that conversation? How do I try to ensure that I don't wake up when I'm 55 years old and a farm succession still hasn't been put in place? Today, we're going to talk to Carolyn Rodenberg. Her company is Alternatives to Conflict, LLC, and she is based in Virginia. She works with farmers across North America. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
Just great, Sean.
Okay, so let's talk about minimizing conflict or alternatives to conflict, as you know, as your company name is, in regards to farm succession, and particularly from the junior partner's point of view. Obviously, there's two sides to the succession equation, but both the junior and senior partners have different perspectives. They're looking for different outcomes. One's trying to enter the business, another is trying to leave the business. So today let's focus a little bit more on the junior person's perspective. In your opinion, what makes the position of the junior partner unique in comparison to the more senior partner?
Well, I think a lot of it is perspective. The junior partner probably worked on the farm when he was a kid on summers. But he hasn't been there when the business grew brick by brick, and the senior partner was there. But this junior partner is expected to learn very quickly what the senior partner has taken years to learn. One of the mistakes he or she often makes is the young person too often acts like they know it all when they really don't. They can't admit that, hey, I don't know all this, because they want to please their parent. And so the perspective is a little shadowed by that. And the other thing is, I think what makes it hard for this young person coming aboard is the other employees on the operation remember him or her as a kid and still thinks of him or her as the kid. And he can't shake that image.
Yeah, like all of a sudden that junior person's 50 years old and everyone still refers to him as the kid.
You are so right. And then I think also sometimes this person is a little too anxious to change things. They come aboard and they've been to school and they study all this stuff and they're so anxious to make all these changes. Dad isn't just, oh, if we just do this, buy that, which causes defensiveness on the part of the dad, and they're already involved in conflict.
Oh, man, if I think about some of the ideas that I came fresh out of university home with, oh, I laugh at that now. That is so true.
Well, when I graduated from undergrad and postgrad in psychology, I thought I knew everything about human behavior. But now that I've really grown up, I realize I knew just a little drop in the bucket about human behavior. It takes time to learn all of those things we need for life.
Okay, so in regards to succession, is there a right time for the junior person to start the discussion of succession? And you know, whether that's in regards to best age or years of service, maybe even the time of the year, like when should this actually happen?
Well, of course, there's no set rule and it's probably different for each business. But a good tip, I think, to listen for, if you start hearing that senior partner even say the word retire or slow down, but the danger is that the young partner will think, oh, here's my chance, and they jump in the deep water, and they're pushing too hard, and that causes, again, dad to start pulling back. But if this young person has finished college or, in my opinion, very essential, worked elsewhere for 2 or 3 years, that's a good time to say, hey, Dad, I'm really interested in coming back to the business and being your partner. Can we talk about it? But I would certainly encourage to have that life experience on another entity or certainly if going to college, finishing college.
I think there's so many young people that have come back to the farm or are going to come back to the farm once they've worked off it that struggle with that. Maybe they approach that first conversation the wrong way, maybe from the wrong angle, with a little bit maybe too much emotion, not enough emotion, or it didn't go well, right? And the response they got mm-hmm. back from the senior partner was, you ungrateful, mm-mm-mm-mm. And what that does is that creates sort of a stall where nobody ever brings it up again, possibly for not just years, but decades.
You're so right. And that little scenario you just described, Dad has framed it in a family father-son frame right there. And that's the big danger we get into when we talk about succession. We've got to remove it from the family framework into a business framework. And it's hard for both parties. It's hard for everybody. It's hard for Dad to let go. And it's hard for that next generation to grab hold. And unless there is a specific process, I can almost guarantee you conflict will occur and then it may get never resolved.
Okay, so very, very insightful right there. So what are, in order to create that business framework of the discussion, because we know that for a lot of people out there, it's a family farm that is, you know, there's a lifestyle component, there's kids working alongside parents, and there's a lot of emotion that gets tied up in things like, you know, land and, you know, the original homestead. How do you create that business context of that discussion?
Well, I would say one of the first things that needs to happen is that senior partner needs to announce to all parties, including employees and family, name that successor as soon as possible. Even if there are several siblings, I work with several people and it's the youngest sibling that's running the family business. But it's important for that senior partner to evaluate who that successor should be and then name that successor, even though it may not happen for 5 or 10 years. It starts creating that mindset. It's like a business. Unfortunately, we don't have a retirement age in farming or agriculture. If you work for IBM, you know at 65, you're finished. But on the farm, you don't have that set time, and so the senior farmer puts it off and puts it off and puts it off. And then that makes the young guy push harder, harder, harder. When is my turn? When is it my turn? So name that successor as soon as possible, well in advance, because that helps the employees too. Encourage that person to work outside the business for 2 or 3 years. And then you set what I call a when and where. You set a specific time to talk about this issue. And I'm not talking about a family Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not talking about in the family home around the breakfast or dinner table where it's framing it as a family issue. But I'm talking about off-site, and you set a time and a place, and you say, this is what we're going to talk about. And then you sit down and have this meeting. It shouldn't last over 1 or 2 hours at the most, the first one. There's probably going to be another meeting and another meeting, but the process takes time. Sit down and start talking about expectations. The first thing, what do you expect me to do and what do I expect to do? Talk about those expectations and then define those roles very carefully. Am I going to be an assistant manager or I'm going to be your shadow or what's my role? Define it. And I go so far as to create a position description. In writing, make it a business meeting, not a family get together.
And writing those things down has to be so critical in that process.
It's essential, because if you don't, it just becomes a discussion that one or both parties soon forget about. So you write it down. In this conversation, I would also want to discuss the career progression plan. In other words, the next generation may be thinking a little too big, too fast, but get something defined in time career progression so that, okay, in 10 years I'm going to be retired and I expect you to be taking over. If it's going to be 10 years, be honest. Don't tell him next year and then plan to work until you drop. So it's not fair unless we really have that career progression plan in place with a timeline. And then the other thing to make it like a business decision is we create an evaluation process. After the first year, these two parties need to sit down and talk about how it's going. How am I doing? What do I need to focus on? Just like you would with any other employee, but we don't do it often enough with family employees.
Yeah. And I guess if you can break those kind of habits, you really, really improve your chance of success. Like, we all know of a family farm team that eventually didn't even talk to each other because of some little small thing that happened like 10 years ago, and it created a, you know, an irritant, and basically it drove a wedge between junior and senior people inside the family business.
You are so right, Sean. I worked with a family in Nebraska. Literally, I was called in to settle a conflict, and I soon realized that for 17 years, the entrepreneur and the COO had not spoken directly to each other. They only talked through a third party. Mm. And it had gone on for 17 years. And when I pulled them aside to work through it with them in a little side mediation, they couldn't really remember what had been said, but one of them had said something about the other way he or she did something. It was so small, but they had held on to it for 17 years.
Wow. It's just amazing that they could have success at the same time while that they weren't even talking to each other.
Think about what success they might have had.
Yeah.
If they had been talking to each other.
You said the word third party. So when we think mm-hmm. about succession, is it a good thing to have a third party, like a mediator or a consultant, to have them involved? I know you may be biased here because you probably do some of this work, but I guess what does that add to the process? Because I know some people try to go at it alone and they have success or they fail. And some, you know, we can have the same thing with consultants. So what value does the third party person add?
Well, this is much of what I do. Excuse me, and I do believe in a third party for several reasons. If this is an important business move, do you do it alone or do you talk to your attorney? Do you talk to your banker? Do you talk to your loan company? This is an important business move, so of course you call in a consultant to help you have that conversation. Because if you are facilitating the conversation, whoever would choose to do it, you can't be both a participant and a facilitator. So I'm a strong, resounding yes, get the third party in, call in the consultant. That consultant can keep the conversation focused. It doesn't wander off into the time you said so-and-so to me, and then it turns into emotion. It keeps that emotion under control. When there's a third party in the room, it's amazing how much better people talk to each other. And lastly, I think it establishes that business style environment from the very beginning. Mm. This is how we're going to interact with each other, like business partners.
Yeah, and having that respect at the table and really mm-hmm. trying to listen to each other. And if there is some moments of a little bit of emotion and heat, that it can be simmered down or extinguished a little bit with maybe it's a 5-minute recess or something like that, or just maybe looking mm-hmm. at things a little bit differently. Or that assistance of, you know, what I think they're trying to say to you is this, right? It's just sort of some assistance in the relationship. You know, an article that I read online that you had written, you talk about language and language being very important in this process. Speak a little bit about that. How does language that we use determine the emotion involved in this discussion from the junior partner's perspective?
I think that's an excellent question because in my opinion, I was once asked, what is the cause of most conflicts? And I said 99.999% of the time, it's a breakdown in communication. The whole process of succession is about communication. And what happens too often, we fall back on that dad-son style of conversation, or we triangle the conversation. We go talk to mom in hopes that she will talk to dad, which is the style of communication that probably the kids grew up with. So I encourage parties to start out using first names. Now, this is hard for the young man or young woman, but I don't want you to call that person dad when you're at work. That person is by his first name, or one of my client's sons started calling his dad by his first initials. But again, that frames it for them, and it frames it for every employee and every person that they're working with, that they are partners. They're not dad and son. So that's communication. Also, when we talk to each other, we have to establish guidelines before we sit down and start talking. Take the emotion out of it. Agree that we're going to not yell or cuss at each other. We're not going to interrupt each other. We're going to be honest. We're going to be respectful. and then just have three issues that we're going to discuss. Don't try to discuss the whole thing. It's all about communication and keeping it set within a framework. If we stay in the framework, we use our guidelines, and we only talk about the issues that we wrote down, you're going to walk out of the meeting feeling really good. We've made progress. We really talked to each other. We haven't yelled at each other or framed it such that we can't even speak to each other.
Isn't it so interesting the way that we address each other, just changing that, you know, calling you mom versus Mary. Just that change of one word changes the mood and the type of discussion that you're going to have.
I call it the frame of the picture. You better betcha. A picture can be great, but if we frame it the right way, it's even greater. And that establishes the framework that we're going to talk within. And it's just one small change, but it does wonders, and it will hold on for a long time, and it helps move. Succession doesn't happen because people get defensive. If we can keep those fences down, we can keep walking together through the wheat field. How's that for a corny metaphor?
Hey, metaphors are great. You know, you mentioned, you know, keeping it a business discussion from the junior partner's perspective. Does one side of this discussion drag it into a family affair before the other in your experience? Like, is it usually the parents that all of a sudden resort back to that father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son relationship? Or is it usually the junior? Who does that more often?
As I reflect on it at this moment, I would say generally the senior person gets defensive first because they're feeling attacked, because the next generation is saying, we need to do this and we need to do that and I need to do this and I want to do that. And that pushes that trigger, and then, okay, I'm taking control. Because what it really is all about in every setting is about power and control. Mm. And basically that button gets pushed, and the response is, but the next generation be guilty too. They push too hard. They push too fast. They're too anxious to change things. They've got to learn some patience. They've got to learn timing, because this business wasn't built in a day, and it's not going to change in a day.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of junior people, one of the things that, you know, one of the messages they have a hard time getting across is that when we do have a succession transition, that doesn't mean they want the senior partner to be gone, to leave. Transfer of the business is different, transfer of the operational responsibilities, right? And they thirst for this period of time where, you know, they're able to make decisions and they're a part of the growth of the company, but they're still working alongside their parents. And I think a lot of times the older generation looks at it as, well, we've done the succession plan, I'm out.
That's right.
They sort of give up on one of the most, I think, rewarding parts of the farm transition.
Just had that conversation with an entrepreneur last week out in Kansas, and he said, well, they don't want me anymore. And I had talked to the next generation, the CEO. Of course he wants his dad there. Of course he wants him giving him advice. But the minute the senior felt as if they don't want me anymore, we had a lot of bridge building to do to try to find a specific task that he can do, a specific way he can contribute, invite him to the challenging conversations, invite him to the decision-making meetings. Especially, he's still an owner. He has every right to be a part of that operation.
Yeah. Well, Carolyn, it's been great to chat with you. I want to thank you very much for joining us today on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. So many great tidbits and pieces of advice for the younger generation as they approach this succession issue. I want to thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Sean, and I wish everyone success in succeeding.
Wow, so much great insight there for you. Whether you're the younger generation or the more senior generation, I think Carolyn really provided a lot of things that we need to consider to make sure that we have a successful farm succession. I think one of the best pieces of advice that she gave was setting the table. Make it a business conversation. Now, that doesn't mean it's cutthroat, and that doesn't mean there's yelling and ranting and raving. That means you set the environment for an actual business conversation as opposed to a supper table conversation. A lot of you in agriculture do a lot of business over the kitchen table. According to Carolyn, the farm succession discussion is not one of them. I want to thank RBC Rural Bank for being our sponsor for the Mind Your Farm Business podcast. You can find more episodes of this podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. I'm Sean Haney with Real Agriculture. Keep on minding your farm business.